That made me football horny.
I will admit right now I'm shook.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, how about that? Mokarum Injury Lawyers. I'm going to let y'all let it breathe a little bit. Mokarum Injury Lawyers right there. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. You or a loved one's ever injured in an accident, you know who the hell to call. Mokarum Injury Lawyers. And remind y'all, dang it, if you're a fan of this old Dirty's Daily and you ain't downloaded that damn Odyssey app yet, you ain't very coachable. Download the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Keep us on your hip. Use that rewind feature. Hit all them podcasts. You can listen live. You can take us wherever you go, man. Streaming live every day. You can take us with you. A-U-D-A-C-Y. All right, the Texans, they had a preseason game, the final preseason game this weekend. Up in Detroit. Really good football team. One of the favorites in the NFC. Really good in the trenches where I think the Texans are trying to get and want to get. So it was a good matchup. Texans win 26. I'm sorry. Boy, my eyes are failing me. 26-7, where, look, let's be honest, you didn't have a lot of starters. You didn't have many starters that played, right? So I'm going to give you again, if you're a Texans fan that's just kind of dialing in because the season's fixing to start, preseason's over, here's what went down. I thought Derek Barnett, you got your two depth edge rushers, your two second-string edge rushers, Derek Barnett and Darrell Taylor, they both played, and the old man Derek Barnett looks good, Ron. Derek Barnett got after the quarterback on the defensive side of the football. The other thing on the defensive side of the football, we did see Christian Harris. Christian Harris was healthy. Christian Harris was healthy and in pads and playing, and he played quite a bit for a preseason game number three.
He needed to get some work, though.
Yeah, he did. On the offensive side of the football, on that same Christian Harris front, Damian Pierce, we hadn't seen him at all. He did get some run early in this game. And now here's the what I think the brightest spot was for all of us Texans fans in preseason week three. Woody Marks, a running back, Mississippi State, USC, 5 years in college ball, came out. I would imagine is on the more mature side than a guy that stays 3 years and comes out. He bounced around. He's lived a little bit. You know, known for playing the air raid offense. He's caught the ball out of the backfield really well. He's a supernatural catcher of the football. He showed that on Saturday. But I'll be honest with you, I think he probably opened some eyes from a fan perspective on how well he ran the football. He did have a touchdown run, which was a cutback run. But he ran this weekend watching Woody Marks. It was hard to not notice, Ron, how he's thicker than I think most people give him credit for. And he's a better runner. He's twitchier. He's more explosive. The change of direction. Woody Marks is the best back of the backups. You got Joe Mixon and Chubb. I think those two guys, they speak for themselves. That right now, though, obviously it'd be crazy to put a back in those guys in the same sentence with those guys. But of the others, Woody Marks is, and I don't even think it's close, to be honest with you. I think Woody Marks is by far the best running back of the others group. And they all pass protected really, really well, so there shouldn't be any reason to hold Woody Marks back. That is the good, right? You got a backup edge rusher, and Derek Barnett looked really good. You got an injured Christian Harris that played and looked like he was healthy. You got an injured Damian Pierce that played and looked like he was healthy. And I think Woody Marks was the bright spot. Also, the two rookies out of Iowa State, the wide receivers Higgins and Hutch, I thought not the two drafted ones, but Higgins and Hutchinson, the older. Hutchinson is the older one. Higgins is a rookie. They got a little bit of run and looked pretty good as well.
Yeah, Johnny was like, I've seen enough of Hutchinson.
Yeah,
he made that first catch.
Yeah, Hutch is going to have to play. I'm not so convinced that Higgins is ready, but Hutchinson obviously is the third best wide receiver on his team right now, all things considered. And I think they're going to lean into him heavily early on until Higgins and Noel and that bunch can get settled in and get used to this pro football thing. The bad of the game, I hadn't heard many people talking about this, but there were flashes in that first drive for Detroit where Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi were in there, and Detroit was getting pushed. Those two guys that are, I mean, they're starting rotation pieces, if not frontline starters for this team. They got pushed around a bit early on with Detroit, and I don't know if it was Detroit's starting unit that was pushing them around. So that's one thing that I saw. Keep an eye on that, because that just simply cannot happen. Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi cannot get pushed around by backups. And then back on the other front there, Ron, with Harris and Christian Harris on the defensive side of the football, Damian Pierce on the offensive side of the football, they both played, but beyond showing that they're healthy enough to play in a game, neither one of them, to be honest with you, did anything that was like, yeah, we got to have these cats back. Yep, they got to be in this rotation. Yep, that's what we've been missing. I don't know if it's rust. It's unfair to expect them to come out there and just flash all over the field, given they hadn't had any live action. But if we're being honest, it's the sample size that we have is one game and a couple of practices. Yes, they were on the field, but there was nothing flashy about either one of them.
Do you think they needed to show that? Like, do you think, was it more about, hey, let's get them out there, let's see how they're moving, let's see if they're healthy? Do you think Damian and Christian Harris needed to?
I think Damian needed it.
I was gonna say yeah. Christian,
I think Damian needed
it. Seems to be fine.
Christian seems to be a guy that I think it would. I think the ceiling's high enough and the sample size is small enough where I think he just needs to stay healthy at this point in time. But we'll see. We'll see. That's the takeaway from preseason game three that I saw. For what it's worth, if you watched it, there's my thoughts. I do have on the backside of it, outside of the action, there's five questions, Ron, with this football team right now for me that they're going to have to decide in the next 24 hours. Right, cut down date tomorrow. They got to get down to 53-man roster. They got to decide on practice squad. They got to decide on who they're going to expose to the waiver wire and who they're going to cut and who they're going to bring back and all that kind of jive, right? Five things that matter with the Houston Texans right now. Does Damian Pierce make this team? Joe Mixon, who we learned today, it's official. He's not just not going to be ready for game one. He's not going to be here for a month. He's out for the first 4 weeks of the season. Right? But even with the Joe Mixon injury, you've got good running back depth. You got guys that can tote the rock, that don't turn the ball over, and you got guys that can pass protect across the board. I think that's the biggest thing for me, Ron, to be honest with you. The biggest takeaway about this training camp is the running back's pass protection. They didn't have one guy out there that you'd say, boy, he ain't worth a damn in pass protection. These guys really stood out in pass protection. Joe Mixon, take him off the table because he's hurt for the first month. Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, Dare Ogunbowale, Damian Pierce, and Jawar Jordan. Those are your five options right now at the running back position. The question is, does Damian Pierce make this team?
I think he has to now. Unless they are eyeing somebody outside of the organization to bring him in. And I wouldn't be upset if they were doing that, because I do think now, at least for a month, it's a different ball game, because I don't think they're going to view Nick Chubb or use Nick Chubb the way they used Joe Mixon at times last year. And that was Joe Mixon, you're the first, second, and third down back, and maybe we sneak Damian Pierce in for two carries a ball game. I don't think they're going to do that. So I think he makes the team. And I think he's fine, but I wouldn't be surprised if they said, all right, man, we need somebody that we can trust and depend on a little bit more than Damian.
I'm going to straddle the fence on this one, Ron. I have no idea. I have no idea, but it would not.
I would like to take that one, too.
Here's the deal is I don't – I think they are more than comfortable with Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, and Dare Ogunbowale. And here's why I have no idea, because I think if they can trade him, they're going to trade him. I think if they can make a move and trade him before, like even if it's just to move up in, from a seventh round pick to a sixth round pick, I think they're going to move Damian Pierce. If not, it's going to be hard to cut bait there. I think they're really comfortable with Chubb, Marks, and Dare Ogunbowale. But Pierce, boy, gosh dang it. Even with the mix and stuff, I still don't feel good about it. All right, number two. Do the Texans keep four tackles, Ron, knowing that they've got inside offensive line problems? And even right now, they still got a guy in Lakin Tomlinson that they brought in. They got a guy that they picked up off the streets. He got cut by New England at center. And they got Ed Ingram, who Minnesota couldn't wait to push out of the building after giving him 2-3 years worth of opportunity there. There's still problems on that inside offensive line. Do they keep four tackles knowing that's the more the issue is inside?
It seems like a lot, but I think they do because I think they can use Titus Howard as a tackle or an interior guy, right? I think with they, because to me, I think the thought is, who do we, if something were to happen, with the exception of center, if something were to happen somewhere, do we want Juice Scruggs to go in, Patterson to go in, or do we want Cam Robinson or Blake Fisher to go in? And really, I would say Cam Robinson right now, if Titus and Ursary are your tackles. I think they would say, we'd rather have Cam go in which they would then just slide. They would slide
Titus
back into the guard spot. So I think they will keep all four of them because, one, I don't think they want to quit on a guy they drafted in the second round that started playoff games for them last year.
That's Blake Fisher.
And I don't think they want to just throw away $12 million on the number one, you know, offseason move they made to the offensive line.
It's Cam Robinson, right?
Yep.
I'm with you. I think they keep them. I think they keep all four of them, and I think they take the road of Titus Howard as your inside answer if you have problems. And I'm going record. I don't like it. They don't trust Fisher. They clearly don't like Robinson as much as they do a rookie. And Howard could potentially move if anybody other than your center is hurt. That part of it I don't like. So, but I do think they keep the four tackles. Hell, I think they keep Trent Brown around on some list where they can keep him in the building as well. All right, number three. What do the Texans do at safety, Ron? No C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Jimmy Ward is obviously a no-go as well with his legal issues. You got Kalen Bullock, M.J. Stewart, Russ Yeast, Jalen Reed, Jalen Petrie, Miles Bryant, Arthur Mollett. You got some options there. What do they do at the safety position? I think that's a big question as well.
Yeah, we'll see what the health of Gardner-Johnson before in the next 2 weeks. But I think if he isn't able to go, and I don't think they should rush him, but if he isn't able to go, I think they probably start with an M.J. Stewart and then maybe Jalen Reed is somebody that could be lurking in the background. I think some people aren't going to love this, but I think you could see some versatility used with Jalen Petrie if Gardner-Johnson isn't ready and maybe he's not exclusively playing in that role they kind of had him in last year when he was playing. So that's the two big things. I think M.J. Stewart probably is the one that slides in if Gardner-Johnson isn't able to go, and I think they'll use Jalen Petrie. And I think Jalen Petrie is better than he was 2 years ago when he was getting benched against the Browns.
Yeah, I like the Kalen Bullock, M.J. Stewart go as well. I think they really like Russ Yeast. I don't think the Jalen Reed kid's ready. Injury or not, I don't think he's ready yet. Now, I do think there's a piece of the secondary to watch that could impact this. You mentioned Jalen Petrie moving back, but the one that could impact this is a guy we've talked about a lot here is Jalen Smith, the rookie out of USC. I know they like him. How much do they like him? How much do they trust him? He could factor in here at one or more positions, you know, at nickel or corner. That would free up some guys to play safety if indeed they need to. But I think M.J. Stewart is the answer out of the gate. But watch the safety position. They're clearly really thin and I think limited with M.J. Stewart and really anybody not named Kalen Bullock back there as well. Number four, what do they do with Denico Autry? Ron, I'll tell you this. Denico Autry is a guy that's been injured and unavailable ultimately with the PED suspension, I think it was, and injuries. He's kind of a tweener between a D tackle and a defensive end. And there are some cap savings if they do part ways with Denico Autry. But he's one piece of when you're factoring in how many D linemen do they keep, how many edge rushers and interior defensive linemen do they keep, Denico Autry factors into that number. You think they keep him around?
I think so. I hadn't really looked at him as somebody, as you talked about earlier, maybe could be a trade option, or maybe they don't want to. I hadn't really thought about that because I feel like they love to have the depth across the D-line. But it's one to watch. He really just hasn't been out there. Like, it has been out there.
Yeah.
I think they like Daryl Taylor a lot, too, on the outside. But Denico is that weird tweener that can rush the passer from the inside. And
you know, he's bigger size than the other ends they have, and they can use a lot with him.
We talked about this on the front end of it. Christian Harris, you think Christian Harris is safe and just a get right guy and is even as deep as they are at the linebacker position?
Yeah, oh yeah, I think he's safe.
Gotcha.
Easy. All right, he better be. All right, coming up as we continue, we will just in case you missed it, we'll tell you about the news of the day and college football. This thing kicks off. We've been talking about our question a day for college football. I've got one about an old power that's making a bit of a resurgence. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Someone here on the text line about the big news of the day with Joe Mixon. Are we sure Joe Mixon is just going to miss 4 weeks? No, not sure. You hope that he's closer than 4 weeks and that they're just taking precaution and saying, we know he's going to miss a couple of weeks, so let's just sit him down so we don't just take up a roster spot with him not being able to go for at least 2 weeks, and they just said, let's give him four. But, anything's on the table right now. Hell, we have not seen him.
And they say,
well,
no.
The one thing that is not on the table is more than seven.
Yeah.
Because I believe by rule, with the list that he's been put on, it's you're on the shelf for 4 weeks, and then there is a three-week period which you can practice and be reinstated at any point in time. If after that three-week window comes and goes and you're never brought back, then you're on the shelf for the season. So the question with Joe Mixon is it's not a 4 week question, it's a 7 week question.
Yeah.
It better be inside 7 weeks, right? Or this could legitimately be the Nick Chubb season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's
they gotta figure something else out.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a 4 week on the shelf and then a 3 week window where he can come back. And if he doesn't come back, he's done for the year. That's my understanding of the list that he's on. And so, as long as it's less than 7 weeks, we're going to be all right.
Yeah. And I do want to get to our, as we're doing it every day leaning into Thursday when the college football week one officially starts. I got a question of the college football question of the day, but this just coming through from Adam Schefter. Bengals and Trey Hendrickson reach an agreement today on a $14 million raise for just this season, boosting his 2025 salary to $30 million. Hendrickson still is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent after this season.
They just paid him an extra $14 million to get him in camp and get him to play one more year.
Yeah, this is similar to what the Chiefs had to do with Chris Jones. I don't think he got a $14 million raise then, but he did get a raise and some incentives. And so maybe for the Bengals that does work out because the Chiefs were eventually able to sign him long term after that year he set up the first game. But so Trey Hendrickson will be there at least this season, getting $30 million this year, and then he'll be. This works out nicely for him. He'll be an unrestricted free agent next year, and he could either go back to Cincy if they want to do something with him, or he could move on. But he'll get $30 million this year. This is like the Kirk Cousins, kind of way of doing things.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think what. And now, look, I don't know if he can complain about $30 million, but I think he was wanting to strike when the iron was hot and get a longer term, get stability for him and his family, knowing where he was going to live, yada, yada, yada. I don't think this answers that question, but it damn sure puts an end in sight to where, hey, you go out there, ball out one more year, do what you do, and then you got free reign to go anywhere that you want to go, and you're going to make $30 million instead of, what was it, 16?
Yeah. Seven. So, what is the he's 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of the best in the game. So he will be a hot item on the market next year.
He should still be able to get some type of a longer-term deal, whether it's 3 years or whatever, next year. But they finally get him in camp. 30? He's 30.
See, that's the other part of that thing for him is now he's – I'm not a huge oh my God, how old he is guy, but I mean, when you're trying to get a deal where you know, like again, the security and have an organization commit to you, I'm assuming you'd rather do it at 30 than 31.
Just one more year. At least he's not a position where 31 is a death. You know, there are some positions where 31, that's a big change in money. He comes out and has 15 sacks, 14 sacks again, and is a problem. I think it'll be all right. All right. Week zero started. College football started a little bit, but Thursday is when week one really starts, Clinton. We've had a couple of conversations, and I will throw this one out to you and the people. Right now, big game coming up this weekend, one of the standalone games, primetime Saturday, is LSU and Clemson getting together. And Clemson is a top five team, and they seem to be they were kind of off a little bit for the last couple of years. They seem to be a bit back after sneaking into the college football playoff last year. This is my question today. After having to kind of adjust, I don't know how well they have, but to kind of adjust to the new climate in college football, I still think they had the least amount of transfers of anybody in college football. But having to adjust to this new college of college football, Dabo Swinney and Clemson are back to being one of college football's powers. You agree with that?
Well, no.
Yeah, along with there.
Well, my pause was more about the definition of a power and less about Clemson.
This season number four right now in the AP.
I do not think they're in the top five in the country. No, I do not see any way, shape, or form. Now, if the ACC is a conference where SMU can play in the title game year one, like then yeah, hell, they can definitely be the top of that division. I gotta believe that the ACC's better, and I just don't know how a school in today's age that doesn't embrace the transfer portal and paying players to play ultimately the way that the rest of the country has competes with
get them out of high school,
the big
baby.
Dogs. If that is going to work, he weathered the storm because he was getting them out of high school and he's been developing them now for 2 years while everybody else was hitting the transfer.
It used to be them and Alabama were the two biggest programs, and now it's kind of slowed up a little bit. But he does have a really good college quarterback,
Cade Klubnik.
So that is maybe a pro style player. And right now the schedule, Clint, is I mean, their toughest conference road game is, I don't know, is either North Carolina or Louisville. Like, that's their, like, they play LSU to start, who is in the top 10, and they end with South Carolina. And then they have SMU at home. Those are the three ranked teams on their schedule this year that are ranked now.
We spend a lot of time talking about Big Ten schedules. I mean, that's tough right there. I'm glad the ACC is what it is because I want my boy Rhett Lashley at SMU, being a Texas school, and me knowing him. I want them to be able to go in there and compete for titles. I think, again, if Clemson is – if their record says they're a top 10 team, it's going to have a lot to do with the schedule they play, the conference they're playing in, and how down they are
now. I mean, the ACC is not as been as down as this, where Florida State is not Florida State, and – I think Miami is probably, you know, the good area. Virginia Tech, not where they used to be. But the ACC has never been – it was never – even when Clemson was running it here recently, it wasn't like – it wasn't the SEC or the Big Ten.
No, it wasn't quite there, but it wasn't this bad.
But still, when you looked at Clemson, you still thought, yeah, they would compete like hell in those two others.
Yeah.
I don't know if you completely 100% feel that right now with them. We'll see against LSU because LSU is as talented as any roster in college football.
Well, look, if Dabo can pull it off, if he can pull off the approach of a man, very minimal transfer portal and more about the old school way of developing it, relationships, and from a player perspective, hey man, I tip my cap to him. I hope he does. I just don't know. I mean, you take powerhouses in the country, and they're adding three or four or five, like, four-star difference-making contributors every year. They're buying them. They're buying the best college players in football. Like, I don't know how you compete with that developing high school kids. But I hope Dabo gets it done.
Yeah, I like it when Clemson is at the top. So we'll see. They did make the college football playoff, but you could tell that was not a vintage Clemson team over the last couple of years. All right, preseason is over right now for the Texans. Let's talk about what impressed us the most. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. LSU better win that first game or Brian Kelly's going to be in trouble. I don't know. In trouble? We'll see. He needs to have a big year. That's for damn sure. With the talent they have and the quarterback they have. Yeah, LSU ought to have a big year. Also, saying in my ear, Tyler Milner, our producer, who is back from Albuquerque. Congratulations on all your developments. Said in my ear that the Raiders have signed Amari Cooper. He is back in it. He signed late with the or in the second half of the year with the Bills last year. Has been kind of chilling on the couch, and now he is a Las Vegas Raider.
Pulled a Los Correa.
He did. There he went. Went on back, huh?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if he'll go back and get 89. Was that it? That was his number, I believe.
Is he 89 with the Raiders?
Or did he? I know he. I felt like he started with 89. Did I just completely make that up? Now I'm thinking about it. I feel like that was Ronald Curry's number. Or was he 9? No?
No, I think you hit it on the head, man. I think it was 89.
It was 9 in college. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, 89. Yeah, he's got to go back and take that. He had been going, yeah, he's going to go back and take that. But, go ahead, Amari Cooper. Boy, you talking about it may be time may be coming up for him. He couldn't really make an impact at all with the Bills last year, and that. And they were thirsting for receivers.
So, yeah, I lost money on it.
Yeah, I didn't.
I just needed more than 1.5 catches a couple times, and I couldn't get that. I couldn't get 2 snaps, much less 2 catches.
Yeah, that's that one time. Yeah, you needed 1.5. You needed 2 catches. He didn't get 2 snaps.
Oh man, I needed 1.5 at one time, and he didn't even see the field. And the next time, he had caught 1 screen. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. All right, let's look at the Texans as they finish up the preseason slate. By the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. But now the preseason is completely over. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, jump in on this. What most impressed you? All right? Everybody's going to talk about us being negative, damn it. No, what most impressed you? What were you most impressed about coming off these 3 preseason games, what we've watched during camp? Also, you can include some of them joint practices. What impressed you the most?
Ooh, this one's easy for me, Ron. I think the Texans pass protection overall. I think we've talked a lot about the running backs and how well they've pass protected, top to bottom. I think that is really something that stuck out to most people that go to practice and watch practice. After preseason, week 2, the way that Andrews and Ingram worked inside at that guard position, I know at least gave me hope that Titus Howard moving to tackle is going to work. And then you get to the tackle position, and the fact that you've got 4 tackles, 5 if you count Trent Brown, but 4 tackles, and you could potentially see a $12 to $14 million man that you brought in here to replace Laremy Tunsil be a backup, because your left tackle that you drafted, out of Minnesota in the second round has worked out so well that he might upseat that $12 to $14 million man for a starting job. So the pass protection overall, top to bottom, I think has been the most impressive part of the preseason for me. In games, by the way, because in practice it was not pretty, but in games, when we didn't know the opponent didn't know us, what they were able to get accomplished was impressive.
Coming here from the text line, as we said, what has impressed you? Now preseason's over. What has impressed you
the most? Someone text in, oh, Nate and Huffman. Most impressed by the consistency in the coaching from the starters through the second and third units.
Coaching's been good. I mean, look, the coaching, D'Amico Ryan is going to surround himself with tremendous coaches. There's no doubt about that. I don't think
there's except been for Bobby Sloak.
Bobby Sloak, I think so. There's been very little turnover other than the offensive coordinator and the O-line coach. I mean, it just seems like D'Amico Ryan's, you know, now you can argue he brought in a couple of guys here that are really good cleats in the turf type of coaches and kind of took it to the next level. But look, I think the coaching has always been really, really good. Here, D'Amico really looking over and standing over the offense, I think makes them significantly better. I think coaching is one of them.
I joke, I don't think Bobby Sloak's a bad coach. I will throw this one out, Clint. I'm really impressed when we saw this from Russell Wilson at the start of his career. When a guy, and there are no plans for him to get a position that he got, but he forced the coaching staff and the brass that put the team together to change how they viewed him and to change his position on the team. That is very impressive, and I think Xavier Hutchinson did that. I don't think there was a plan that Xavier Hutchinson would be one of their top three receivers right now. I don't think that was the plan. Hell, I think there was a chance coming into this sucker that he may not make the team. And his play forced them to have to handle things different. They drafted a wide receiver with their number one pick this year. They drafted another one in the third round. They paid Justin Watson. But he forced his way into being the third receiver, it seems like, right now in this team. So I'm most impressed by the camp and the consistency of Hutchinson.
I like it because it will be absolutely huge for this team. Now, if Higgins develops and he becomes that guy, whoever the third overall receiver is going to be huge for this football team. Whether it's Xavier Hutchinson now and he holds on to it, or it's Higgins and he comes along, Jay Noel gets some run, we'll see. Right now, you're right, it's Hutchinson.
I'm just saying, you look at him and Mechie. A similar space coming into it.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Mechie's traded and he's jumped over the rookie.
Yeah, he's getting run. He's getting burned, no question. I got a couple more. Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. Look, I knew they were good, Ron. I didn't know that we were going to go out there and literally just ruin practice for two and a half weeks. Like, I didn't like these two. I mean, look, they're regarded as one of the best 1-2 punches in a game, one of the best edge rushing tandems in the game. So it's no secret that they're really good. But this is a different animal. I walked out there and watched every day at practice, knowing that I was watching or feeling like I was watching a Super Bowl caliber defense. And you watch these two guys just dominate time and time and time again, and how they go about their business, how they handle their business. I can't sit here and tell you that's what I expected out of Will and Daniil in practice and in camp.
Yeah,
I mean, most teams that have this caliber player, they're on the sideline. You know, they're hanging out. They're taking days off. They're taking vet days. These guys were wrecking shop every damn practice. And so I think there, and then I got one more for you. Kalen Bullock.
Bullock.
I'm sorry, you're right. Damn it, Bullock.
Bullock.
Bullock. Gosh dang.
Who was it that said it real hard like that? Said, I can't remember.
But
go ahead.
Again, knew he was good. Obviously had a great year last year. Hope that he kept building on that and would come back a better player. And I think it's fair to say, like, in terms of making plays, like, on the ball, like, impacting plays, not just edge rusher sacking, I think it's fair to say that Kalen Bullock has stood out more consistently and longer than anybody on this team. Hell, he had a pick in the damn joint practice against Detroit.
I know they love old Tommy. So he's Mr. Consistency, but who? Kalen Bullock.
Guy?
No. Kalen, but that's what he called him today, Mr. Consistency. But Kalen Bullock has been that too.
It's
been
every day,
plays
Ron.
Every
I mean, the one defensive rep that I saw with Carolina, he was breaking down. He was high on the roof, breaking down and reaching over and slapping down a pass from Bryce Young. I can't remember who it was. I think the McMillan kid. But it, like, It's just every time you watch a Texans practice, you better believe Will and Daniil are going to catch your eye off the edge. And Kalen Bullock, you just follow the ball. Kalen Bullock is going to make multiple plays on the ball.
Yeah, I think CJ's maybe completed more balls to him than he has some of the other receivers.
You think he's got more receptions than some of the wide receivers out there?
Cephas. From CJ. From CJ. Right. Not Davis. From CJ. No, Kalen Bullock has been a...
You went Cephas. Huh? Cephas.
By the way, shout out to him. He made a really nice grab.
Shoot, what do you have? Six catches?
Yeah.
Five or six catches?
Went up and mossed that young man. I heard John Harris, you can hear after us, said he did it to him in practice too.
Did it to him in practice. They tried it to the right side. They came back, got the matchup on the left, and did it again.
Yep. Text line coming in. Good afternoon, fellas. The thing that has impressed me the most is this defense, the Texans defense. They've been able to overcome any big plays or penalties, holding or pass interference. It doesn't matter. They'll come back and still make a play and hold the team. Well, yep. Well, I don't know how much that was the top guys, but the defense played pretty well. All levels is.
Yeah, look, the defense is nasty. I had to pinpoint a couple of people, man. They're just, it's different. I mean, you don't, and maybe it's by design, but you know, you don't see much from Stingley just because they don't throw his way. And Kamari, you know, they don't throw. There's not seen a whole lot. I mean, Kalen Bullock said, "Damn it, I'm gonna be on the film. I'm gonna catch your eye. You're gonna know who I am after this training camp. Every day it's something." So.
Yep.
The defense is definitely
I was listening to Ryan Clark. He specifically pointed out Kalen Bullock and how he's ready to take the next step. All right, coming up, we will discuss the top story of the day with the Texans, and that is the news on Joe Mixon. We will let you know that. We'll get you also caught up with the Astros, their weekend, and what they have forward as they return home. And will the big fella be back, as well as big money coming out of the National Football League as one of the biggest contract issues is finally resolved. We'll discuss all of that. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.